So we're learning Perek Yud Aleph, Sofim. We've been discussing the topic of Yiftach and his daughter. We basically finished till the end of the Perek in the Pesukim last week, but didn't really get too far in the Chazal. There's a lot of Midrashim and Gemaras that are very important and interesting on this topic. So maybe we'll just do a quick review again of what the story was, at least according to the Pshat, according to the text. In Pasuk Lamed says, Vayida Yiftach neder Hashem Vayomar, and Yiftach took a neder, took an oath to Hashem, and he said, Im nason titenes b'nei amon b'yadi, if you will surely give b'nei amon, who he's at war with, into my hand, haya hayotze after yeti midal tevesi l'krasi, and it will be that whoever comes out of the doors of my house to greet me, b'shuvi v'shalom b'nei amon, when I return from the b'nei amon, vaya l'Hashem v'halisiu ola, and it will be for Hashem, and I'll bring it for an ola. The Mefarshim learn that those who want to learn a pshat, that want to learn that he never brought his daughter as a karbon, so they say v'haya l'Hashem is if it will be a person, then I'll dedicate that person to Hashem, and if it will be an animal, v'halisiu ola, then I'll bring it as a karbon. The Ramban, we heard last week, rejected that. He said that's not what happens when someone is dedicated what ends up seems to be described in the Pesukim is that the daughter, of course, who comes through the door, and he sends her off into solitary, and he sends someone off into solitary. Does that make sense even?
Solitary confinement.
Yeah. So the Ramban says that's not what happens when someone is dedicated to Hashem. You don't send them, right? The other examples are let's say Shmuel, his mother Hannah dedicates him to Hashem, and he ends up serving in the Mishkan. Now I'm not sure what the Ramban wants to happen with her, because she, after all, she's a woman, so she's not going to serve in the Mishkan. But maybe she would serve some other role.
Yeah, like there's a couple women.
They did? I guess there were some jobs that she could have fulfilled. We know Devorah made the wick. They sewed the curtains.
It's in the Torah. Like the women who...
Well, they helped prepare the Mishkan.
Yeah.
That's for sure, right. But in the actual Avodah, I'm not sure on a daily basis how involved they were. But we did learn that Devorah used to make wicks for the Mishkan, so she could have had some kind of job like that.
Yeah, there was something else in the Torah too.
The Ralbag sort of deals with this Ramban, and he does take this approach that, you know, splits it off this way, that he's not planning on bringing her as a karbon. The Ralbag, we read a bit of it last week, the Ralbag says that if it would be a person, then it would be Hashem, meaning it would be, this person would be dedicated to Avodas Hashem. And if it would be I forgot to grab a Tanakh, but you could either follow along in there, or you could follow along in either of these. I think they both have. And we're not really going to be reading much inside anyway, it happens to be. But so the Ralbag says that the person would be dedicated to Hashem if it would be a man, so then he wouldn't need to be separated from his wife or from marrying, because he could dedicate him to Avodas Hashem in other ways, Kohanim or Levium. If he wasn't a Kohen or a Levi, I'm not sure what, you know, he would have to find some other way, but there were more, I guess, options for a male, he says.
He could be a slaughterer.
Right, perhaps. And He says, however, if it would be a woman, so then she would be have to be in solitary, separated. She wouldn't be able to marry, as we mentioned, because if she would marry, then she would be serving her husband and not serving Hashem. And that's why Yitzchak was so upset when he saw his daughter come out, because he knew now she wouldn't be able to marry, and she would have to be alone, and somehow that would be how he would dedicate her to Hashem. It seems the Rabbag is somehow trying to deal with the Ramban's taina. The Ramban said, what do you mean? It can't be that she would just be dedicated to Hashem, because when you're dedicated to Hashem, so you don't go into solitary, you get some sort of job to do. So the Rabbag seems to be grappling with that, trying to say, no, but she's a woman, so what do you expect her job? The way that she's dedicated to Hashem is she's not going to marry, and she'll serve Hashem in other ways, I suppose. She'll daven, whatever it's going to be, but she'll be off alone. That's how she'll, that will be her fate. I don't think so. So after the victory, Pasuk Lamed Aleph describes, he comes to his house, and his daughter comes out, and she's so excited to see him. She's got instruments, and Pasuk Lamed Hey says, Vayihisir ososa vayikras digadav. It was when he saw her, he tore his clothes, he was very upset. And we learned the Malbim last week. The Malbim said that, but he composed himself, and he said, oh, but I could go get a heter for this nether. I could get out of this. And she says in Pasuk Lamed Vav, Batomer Elav, Avi, my father, Patisa, Esticha, El Hashem. No, you've opened up your mouth to Hashem. Aseli, Kasher Yatim, Vicha, do to me what you said you're going to do. And, you know, because Hashem has taken revenge against the Ammonites, and so therefore you have to fulfill your nether. And in the shot approach of the Malbim, it was Yiftach who wanted to go get a heter, and it was his daughter who convinced him out of it. And then she asked, though, you know, give me a couple months to at least spend time with my friends, and then I'll go into solitary.
Why couldn't he just redeem her?
Why couldn't he redeem her? Well, it depends which approach we're going.
Regardless of the approach, some kind of a vow. Why couldn't he just?
Well, it depends what kind of hectic it would be. If you dedicate something as kedushas damim, like an animal for a carbon, then you can't redeem it. If you dedicate it for just the money, that the value of it will be for the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash, so then that you'd be able to redeem. So it seems the approach is of the Midrashim and the Mefarshim is his out would have been to nullify the whole neder, find a Pesach, find an opening, something that would show that it was a mistake, and that's what we're going to really discuss. So, and then the other important pasuk is in Lamed Tes, where it says that Vahimi Kate Naim Kadosh, and it was after 2 months, Batasha Valavia, and she returned to her father, Vayas Lo Es Nidr Asher Nadar, and he fulfilled the neder that he had taken, the oath that he had taken, and it doesn't say what he did to her, Vahi Lo Yada Ish, and she never knew a husband, etc. So, did he put her in solitary? Did he just send her off into the mountains? Or did he actually slaughter her? That's according to the Parshat Pshat, it seems he didn't bring her as a carbon. He just sent her off. And we'll see the Medrash assumes that he actually did bring her as a carbon, which was the way that the Ramban understood it all. So last week we mentioned the Ramban thought that he thought that he's Chayav Misa if he doesn't bring her as a carbon. That's when he interpreted the Pasuk of
I don't know.
Adam. that most yumas, it says, the person who makes a chayrim, who makes a hektish, and doesn't fulfill it, he will die. So he understood that pasuk to include what he had done, although it wasn't supposed to include that. It was supposed to, really, the pasuk is going on. If a leader says, you know, we're going to destroy this city, everybody has to participate, and you refuse to participate, then you get killed. But he misunderstood that pasuk and thought that he would be chayav misa if he didn't kill her. That was the Ramban approach.
So he sent her off for 2 months. None of the elders of the town say, you idiot, you can't make a korban out of a human being. She's traced. Number two, it's murder. And number three, a vow, let's say to eat trace, is invalid.
Right?
You can't make a vow to eat trace.
The vow was certainly not valid. I mean, almost in terms of it, to actually do it.
So over a 2 month period, nobody in the town understood that she was being sent away for this nutty reason. Nobody said anything.
It's a good question. We'll have to see the Medrash and see if we can get some insight into that. So the Medrash, there's a number of Medrashim. The most extensive one is found in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Bichlukosai, and it's talking about the parsha of Erechin, where you dedicate a person's value to the Beis HaMikdash, and you say about a person,
he went on summer vacation. Maybe he didn't help. He went on summer vacation with friends. The 2 months wasn't summer. He was
with friends. So he lies as well. Why would he lie?
He's
such an idiot. Why doesn't he tell the truth? He's so arrogant.
Well,
he's so ignorant.
Going to mention, that was the problem. He was arrogant. He did control.
But he's also ignorant.
So let's see.
Obviously, in his ignorance, why not
ignorant,
tell the truth?
If he made the thing, and he wasn't going to mention, he was
arrogant. Let's see the Medrash. So the Medrash is going on the topic of Erechin, and it quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "Tree tzaddik, the fruit of a tzaddik is eight chayim, is the tree of life." In the Torah, the lokeach nafshos chacham, and the one who knows how to take nefashos, know how to take souls, is wise. And it says, the Medrash says, what does that pasuk mean? So a person can be a tzaddik, and even though he's a tzaddik, if he doesn't learn Torah, so then he has nothing. Rather, the pre-tzaddik, the fruit of a tzaddik, has to be eight chayim, the tree of life, meaning Torah, because through being knowledgeable in Torah, he knows how to take nefashos. He knows how to take lives, meaning, that's the end of the pasuk, right? V'lokeach nefashos chacham, the person who takes lives is wise. What does it mean? So, meaning that if he takes an oath of Erechin, right? This Medrash is talking about Erechin, that the Erechi Eli, this person's value should be upon me to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. So he knows, because he learned Torah, how to do that. And he knows what to do now. And if he doesn't have Torah, then he doesn't know what to do. Says the Medrash, that's what we find by Yiftach HaGiladi. Because he wasn't a Ben Torah, his daughter was lost to him. When he went to war with Ammon and he took an oath, quotes the pasuk, he took the oath, the Osa Shah Haya Alav Kasmin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very angry with him. Omar, he said, and we'll expound on this when we see the Gemara, that also mentions this idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ivu Yatza Mi Beiso Kelev O Chazir O Gamal, if a dog or a pig or a camel walks out, things that are forbidden to bring them in his bath, you have to bring a kosher animal as a carbon. If those things come out of his house, he's going to bring those as a carbon. How could he take such an oath? And therefore, Hashem arranged that it would be his daughter as a punishment, that his daughter would come out. What did his daughter do wrong? Not sure. I think some would say that she came out. Vote about now Kanima. You should have stayed inside. But But it's hard to understand exactly where she went wrong, but the Medrash doesn't tell us that. I don't know how old she was. I'm not sure. She wasn't married. It was
maybe that was married.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. So she has a obligation to assist in populating the world, but
how do we know she didn't?
So
how do we know she wasn't chasing after boys every chance?
Well, she didn't have children. That we know. Oh yeah, that too. She was.
So what?
You're saying how do we know she didn't try to get married?
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So kol kach lama. Now, why did this all happen? The Medrash says, "Kidei sheyilamdu kolan nodrim hilchos nedarim mekonamos shalolino ktaros benedarim." So that people would learn from this story that how to behave with nedarim, with oaths, and there's an important lesson from this story about how careful we have to be with our word. Now, Medrash goes on. And it's described that here his daughter was coming out, and when he saw her, he tore his clothes, and he said, "Here, I've opened him in my mouth, and I can't return, I can't take it back." So, the Medrash says, "What do you mean you can't take it back? Go to a chacham, go to a wise person, and get a pesach, find a opening, find, if you find somewhere where you can say, oh, if I didn't know this, then I wouldn't have taken the neder. Then we can nullify the neder." So, what about Pinchas? Pinchas was still alive at this time, as we're going to see. Pinchas continues to pop up throughout Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel. Pinchas lived to a ripe old age, and he says Pinchas was still around. And he says, "I can't take it back. Go to Pinchas. Pinchas is a great person who could be matir the neder. He can find a opening and out, a way out for this neder." So says the Medrash a fascinating thing. Ela Pinchas Amar. Pinchas said, "Ani Kohen Gadol. I'm the Kohen Gadol. Ben Kohen Gadol, the son of the Kohen Gadol. The eich eilech eitzel amaret. How could I go to an amaret, to an ignoramus, doesn't know Torah, beneath my kavod to go to him to exempt him from this neder?" Yiftach Amar. Yiftach said, "Ani Rosh Shofte Yisrael. I'm the head of Israel. Rosh HaKatzinim, the head champion warrior. Ashbil Atzni ve'ilach Eitzel Hevyot. I'll lower myself and go to a simple person." I don't know why you consider Pinchas a simple person, a Hevyot. But he refused to go to Pinchas. He thought Pinchas should come to him. Maybe, but between the two of them, this girl was lost from the world. So, what exactly were they thinking? Right? You have someone's life is on the line. So, should we just say they were that stubborn or that arrogant that they wouldn't, they wouldn't go to each other? You know, Pinchas, he's certainly a tzaddik. Yiftach is being described in this medrash as an amaret, as someone who doesn't know Torah. On the other hand, you don't just become the leader of Klal Yisrael without having something going for you. Also, the Gemara tells us that Yiftach bedaro k'shmuel bedaro, that you only have the Gemara says that it's darshening a pasuk, I think in Shmuel, that lists a number of different shoftim on the same sentence and different Moshe. It says like Moshe and Aaron, and then Shmuel and Yiftach all mention the same breath basically, and the Gemara says that it's to teach you that all you have, you only have whoever's the leader of your generation, that's your leader. And Yiftach Bedaro, Shmuel Bedaro, Yiftach in his generation, like Shmuel in his generation, each person, has his leader, but seemingly you know, it Yitzchak was, you know, he was something. He wasn't nothing. He's the leader. He's respected. He's someone who's worthy to listen to. If he was nothing, if he wasn't even worthy to listen to, then how could the Gemara say, you know, Yitzchak Bedar or Kishmul Bedar? So we have these conflicting ideas. We have our Medrash saying he didn't know anything. The Gemara seems to imply that he did. So we know that Yiftach has Nevuah. If assuming that Yiftach did have, you know, was of stature, then how can we understand how he would refuse to go to Pinchas? And how do we understand Pinchas' action that he wouldn't go to Yiftach if he knew that this girl's life was on the line? So Mishpat Zav suggests that Yiftach assumed that if there was some way out of this, if there was a Pesach, a way out of this neder, then Pinchas would come on his own. He would come, and there must not be a way out.
Just to save the girl.
Yeah, and Pinchas assumed that if there was any possible way out, then Yiftach would come to ask about it, because. And if he wasn't here, if he didn't come, it must be that there was no way out. He just must have had nothing. There's no point of me traveling all the way to him, because he must not have any way out of it. The Mefarshim do discuss that it could be that it was a little bit difficult to get out of this nether. You know, it's interesting because although he wouldn't have taken the nether if he knew that it would be his daughter who came out, but on the other hand, he was happy with the result of, he said to Hashem, if you give me victory, then, you know, I'll give to you, you know, I'll whoever comes out of my door, I'll bring as a carbon. So, and Hashem gave him victory. So, he's happy with that. He may not be happy with who came through the door, but Hashem fulfilled his nether. So, it's kind of, there is a challenge here to take that back of, you know, I would do it all over again had I known. I'm not sure, you know. He was given victory by Amon. I'm not sure if he would do it all over again. So it seems that it's not so simple to get out of this nether. I think he said whatever. He said... Well, he does say Hayotze, that which comes out. So,
Art Scroll translates as whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the words are the Haya Hayotze, and it will be that which comes out. So it's not really it's not whatever or whoever. That which comes out.
The Hayotze. Not me yotze.
Right. It could have said Masha yotze, what comes out, or Misha yotze, who comes out.
Yeah,
it's like, yotze. It's very general. It doesn't.
I don't think it would at all exclude a person. Just
no.
Because
right.
It's less specific.
Right. So, anyways.
So he thought he had already purchased his victory, and therefore he couldn't undo the net.
Perhaps. I'm just suggesting that seems to be.
Well,
a possibility.
If he couldn't honestly say that, like you said, he would do it all over again if he knew the only way to get victory would be his daughter, then it's not an avenue to undo the nether. Because only if you would revoke everything if you knew that would be the outcome.
Right. I don't know. I'm not, like, you know, familiar with the details of Hilchos Nedarim, but they're right. Like Jeremy's saying, it's, you know, it could be along those lines that. If you're not going to do it all over again, then maybe you can't revoke the neder. So it's something the Mefarshim touch on. Whatever it is, though, whether it was easy to get out of or it wasn't easy to get out of, they each thought that the other one would come to them, and the Mishpat Zav is suggesting the reason why they thought that was because Yiftach assumed if there was a way out, then Pinchas would come and help him, and Pinchas assumed if there was any way out, if there was even a tzad, some sort of possibility for getting out of this, Yiftach would be at his doorstep to ask. And it must be, there's no question about it, there's no way out of it.
I go back to the previous point.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
So why would he think that God would make such a deal, grant him victory in exchange for something that would be a safe sacrifice, as well as require the act of murder? Why would God make such a deal? Why would he think that? He's obviously...
When? After the fact?
Before the fact.
Before the fact? I don't think he was expecting this to happen before the fact.
So it wasn't an expectation that it would be a human being in this moment.
Right, but the question is, after the fact, he's achieved victory. He could go back in time and have to fight Amon again and be unsure of whether Hashem is going to grant him victory. Or he could sacrifice
Hashem
his daughter.
Hashem knew his true thought. Hashem knew the bargain that he was making with Yitzchak. I'm going to grant you victory in exchange for what your true thought is. And that is some bull that comes out of your barn. You know, which is a part of the house.
Right.
I think
that's the idea of it being a punishment for making a careless vow.
Right. Yeah, it's a very difficult story. It's, at the end of the day, it's a very difficult story. Either way, I don't think we're going to come out with, like, you know... They do say that. They say, they talk about that, I think she was a Gilgal of Parshas Pinchas, what's her name? Cosby? I believe.
The Midianitis?
I believe so. I believe that the... Yes, this is the Ramam Lupana, and I believe they bring it down here. Yeah, I mean, if that makes you feel better, then we could say that. I don't know. I kind of was avoiding that. Wasn't sure where to go with that.
So she had no kuba to begin with, huh?
Oh, okay. I don't know about that, but I'm not sure if that's how dual ghouling works. But
kuba is the rule, right? He struck her in the kuba.
But I believe that they bring something like that down here. I can't find it right now, but sometimes you have to chalk it up to Gilgal. I hear. That does work sometimes. Okay, I can't find it right now, but I believe that that's what they bring from the Ramami Pano.
Isn't that arbitrary?
I don't think it was arbitrary, but I can't say where it's coming from. There's a Masara of Kabbalah. So, all right. So, but he has to develop this idea a little further, because at the end of the day, the way the Medrash says it is that Yiftah said, "I'm the leader. I'm not going to go to him." And Pinchas said, "Oh, I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm not going to go to him." So he says that. No, I'm not talking about her. I'm going back now to the idea of that each one thought that this wasn't a nether that could be solved. This wasn't a problem that could be solved. But still, you know, you do whatever you can, right? If you don't think that it could be solved, okay, but you should try, right? Just because Pinchas doesn't come to you doesn't for sure mean there's no way out. If you're Yitzchak the father, you should still be knocking on his door just in case. Or if you're Pinchas the leader, you should be at Yitzchak's door just in case. So to that, he says that's what the Medrash is referring to, that there was this additional catalyst of my position that was also impacting their decision making. And if not for that they were worried about their own honor, so then they still would have gone despite this. Basically, they assumed that there was no way out of this, each of them. But they still, under normal circumstances, would have tried to do whatever they could to make sure that there was no way out. But because of that honor, that little bit of honor, that we'll call it arrogance, I'm not sure if we could go that far, but when we're talking about Pinchas and Yitzchak, but that little bit, that's what Chazal are telling us about, that caused them, despite the severity of the situation, to not try everything that within their power to save her. And that's the Mishpat Zav. The Chaim Kanievsky says along the same line that Yiftach thought, you know, I'm the king, and I'm more chashev than the Kohen Gadol. He wasn't a king, but he was basically the leader of Israel. So he said that certainly Pinchas would come to me, and if he didn't, then there must be no way out of this. And Pinchas held that since I'm the Kohen Gadol and Yiftach has to come to me, so then there must be no way out. And yeah, so I guess it's really the same idea that they each said. Right, he's flipping it. According to the Mishpat Zav, the way the Mishpat Zav was saying it was that the starting point was that if he didn't come to me, there must be no way out. And maybe I should try just in case. Still go. That's where the little bit of arrogance kicked in the position, and they said, you know, it's beneath me to go to him. The Chaim Kanievsky flips it and says, they said, because of my position, he's supposed to come to me. If he didn't come to me, there must be no way out. It's really along the same line. That these two ideas, it was a combination of the position that each one had and the assumption that there must be no way out, that combined that neither of them would go to see the other one to try to find a way out. Now, the Medrash says that they were both punished for this. Both of them were punished as a result. So Mr. Sapper, Yiftach got punished for the murder, for not trying to find a way out of it. So Pinchas lost his Ruach HaKodesh, the Medrash says, and Yiftach ends up suffering a gruesome death in the next parak, which we'll come to hopefully in September. Mr. Shem. Now, the Medrash goes on, and it tells us that the daughter of Yiftach pleaded with him that, you know, this is wrong. This isn't the halacha. You don't bring me as a carbon if you take such a nether. She said, you think the Torah says that you could bring a person as a carbon? All it says is ki yakriv mikem carbon l'Hashem min ha-behema, that you bring a carbon from an animal, not from a person. He said, I took an oath, and I'm going to keep my oath. She said, you think that if you take an oath, you have to fulfill even this kind of oath? She said, Yaakov Avinu, he promised, kol asher titeli aser asrenu lo, anything that you give to me, I'll give meiser from, I'll give a tenth aside from it. So, what did Hashem give him? He gave him 12 children. So you think, she says, that he gave his tenth one as a carbon to Hashem because he promised that he would tithe every 10% of everything? So, this is certainly not. Now the Medrash says something interesting, because this is how Medrashim works sometimes, but she says, and what about Chana? Chana took a nether, and she said that if you give me a child, I'll give him to Hashem. You think that she gave her son Shmuel as a carbon? No, she dedicated him to Hashem. The reason I say this is interesting is because this actually hasn't happened yet. because we're in the times of Shoftim yet. Shmuel hasn't come along yet. But the Medrash is just trying to make a point that this was incorrect halacha, obviously. So It says, she said all of these things to him, and he wouldn't listen. Kivan shirasa shelo shama, la. Once she saw that he wasn't listening, Amrelo, she said to him, Hanicheni, leave me alone, ve'ered etzel bezdin, and I'll go to the bezdin. Shem yim to pesach l'ndadarcha, maybe I'll find a way out of your nether. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Tarpe mimeni shayim chadashim, leave me for 2 months, ve'elcha, and I'll go, ve'arati alaharim, and I'll go down to the mountain. So this is pasuk Yuglamet Zayin. In Pasuk Lamed Zayin, she says to her father, do this one thing for me, leave me for 2 months, and I will go and I'll go down to the mountains, and I'll cry on my Tesulai, on my virginity, me and my friends. So the Mefarshim grappled in the Pasuk Pshat, what does it mean, I'll go down to the mountains? So they said, how do you go down to the mountains? So it must be that they lived on the highest mountain, the Mefarshim say. The Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Drachia v'chiyesh adam yored ha'alaharim, does the person go down to the mountains? People go up to the mountains. So what does it mean that she went down to the mountains? She went down to the Sanhedrin. Shenemar shimu harim esriv Hashem, Pasuk Michal refers to the Sanhedrin as harim, as the mountain. So it means that she went down to the mountain, she went down to the Sanhedrin to find a opening to the nether. She went to him, she went to them, and they didn't find an opening. Why, as a punishment to Yitzchak, again, it's like punishing Yitzchak for some reason. Again, I'm not sure what she did wrong, but as a punishment to Yitzchak for his treatment of Shevet Ephraim, again in the next parak, which we'll see, the Medrash considers the way that he treated them improper, he mistreated them, and as a punishment, Sanhedrin couldn't figure out a way to get him out of his nether. Now, just as an aside, an interesting discussion in the Tshuvos, in the response of the Rivash. The Rivash in the Tshuva is discussing the laws of Nedarim in general, and then at the very end of the Tshuva he comes to a statement of the Rambam. The Rambam paskins that you can't be Matir a Neder unless the person is there who took the Neder. The Noder, the person who took the Neder, took the oath, has to be in front of the people who are trying to find the Heter. And the Rivash says, again, I suppose it sounds like the Mefarshim struggle with finding a Makar, a source for this Rambam. Right? The Rambam, basically all of his halachos are sourced in the Gemara. Anytime it's not, so the Mefarshim struggle, maybe it's a Yerushalmi, where is this? It's a Medrash, where did the Rambam get this from? It seems that the Mefarshim don't have a good source for this halacha, and therefore, the Rivash says, it seems though, Rai Lachos Lidvarav, we should be choshesh, we should concern ourselves with the words of the Rambam and assume him to be correct, that you can't be matzir, you can't revoke a neder unless the person who took the neder is there. And he says, the story of the Bas Yiftach and the daughter of Yiftach could be a proof, because of, he quotes a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah in Parshas Chayisara, which says the same thing as our Medrash said. He's focusing on the point that Pinchas wouldn't go to Yiftach and Yiftach wouldn't go to Pinchas. Okay, he says, but why wouldn't Yiftach just send a messenger to Pinchas? Fine, he said, I won't go. But why didn't he just send a messenger to find a heter for his neder? So, says the Rivash, it's a proof, that seems to be a proof for the Rambam, that it couldn't be done that way. You have to be the one to go to find a heter for the nether. That's all he says. He doesn't say more about this. Uh-huh. Right, so it should depend on this Rambam. So I just was bothered by this because we just read on in the Medrash, and it says that the daughter of Yitzchak says, oh, you're not going to go, so then I'll go, right? And I'll try to find a heter. What do you mean? The Rambam paskins, we have a raya, the Rivash says, that you have to, the person who took the nether has to be the one to go. So from the same Medrash, I mean, he's quoting a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, but from the Medrash Tanchuma in the Chukosai, we seem to have a proof that you could have a representative go. And even though they they wouldn't be matur the neder, so you would say, oh, you see, that maybe perhaps that was why, because maybe they just turned her away and said, sorry, your father has to come. But that's not the implication of the Medrash. The Medrash says that the reason why they wouldn't be matur the neder was Hashem didn't allow them to, as a punishment to Yitzchak, that they couldn't find a opening, they couldn't find a way out. But it doesn't seem that there was anything wrong with having her come to try to find the heter for the nether.
She was hoping that
She was hoping that they would come to Yitzchak. Oh, maybe.
Then they'd have him in front
right.
of them.
Okay. Okay, I hear. Okay. So, but that's sort of a side point. So the Medrash concludes that Allah the Shachta, he went and he shechted her. Medrash says explicitly that he actually slaughtered his daughter. And on that, Ruach HaKodesh called out and it said, we'll save this actually, we'll see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to quote this pasuk also. Let's just take a look at the Gemara about this. The Gemara says that the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Dalid, Shlosha Shalu Shalo Kahogan. Three people asked improperly. Two of them got a good answer despite that they asked improperly, and one did not get a good response. Who are these three? Eliezer, the servant of Avram, Shaul ben Kish, the king, first king of Israel, and Yitzchak. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, said, and it will be the Hayahanara Sheromari Lahatinoka, if whichever girl will come and basically give me water, she'll be the wife for Yitzchak. So, okay, good point. So it says, maybe Yacho, it would be a Figueres, a Filusuma, maybe a person who's missing a leg or someone who's blind, somebody who wouldn't be a proper wife for Yitzchak, and yet for Yitzchak, I mean, and yet he got the amazing Rivka. So he got answered despite his improper questioning with a proper answer. The second is Shaul. Shaul said, whoever kills Goliath, I'll make him rich, and I'll give him my daughter as a wife, and it could have been a slave, it could have been a mamzer. Who knows who it could have been, but he got a good answer, and it was David, who later becomes David HaMelech. And the third is Yiftach HaGiladi. Yiftach says, whoever comes out of my house, I'll bring as a carbon. It could have been, says the Medrash, someone, a tamek, an unkosher animal. But he got answered, and he got answered to Shalom Kahogan. He did not get a good response from Hashem, and it was his daughter. Says the Gemara, that's what the Navi in Yirmiyah is referring to when he says, Hatzari in the Gilad in Rofe in Sham, is there no balm in Gilad for the wound? Is there no doctor? And it says, Asher lo tivisi v'lo dibarti v'lo osa libi. That I didn't command and I didn't say and I didn't and never entered my heart. And it says that this part, Asher lo tivisi, that I didn't command, is referring to Yiftach, I didn't command this, and this wasn't my desire, and this still played out the way the. Okay, there's a lot of conflicting midrashim, just which part of the pasuk is going on, which part, but the point is that it was, you got an answer, Shalom Kahogan. And just that we mentioned that pasuk that says, Hatsari ing Begilad, is there no balm in Gilad? Is there no doctor there? So they interpret this pasuk to refer to the fact that there was a way out of this. It's rhetorical. Is there no way out? Is there no salve for the wound? Is there no way out of this? There was Pinchas. There was Yiftach could have gone to Pinchas. Pinchas could have come to Yiftach, but they did not. So why does the Mepharshim question basically, what's the difference? Why was Yiftach answered Shalom Kehogan? Why were Eliezer and Shaul, why did they receive good answers? And Yiftach got a bad answer, got a bad response. Yiftach got his daughter, he had to bring her as a karban. Shaul ended up with David HaMelech for his daughter. Eliezer ended up with Rivka. What was the difference? So the Marsha says that it was Shalom Kehogan. It wasn't a proper question because he's really dealing with a different question. He's more dealing with the question. If it would be something that's improper, so he wouldn't bring her as a karbam. So he says that still the reason why it was Shalom Kehogan, it was an improper thing to say, was because he wouldn't be able to fulfill his word. He's assuming that he didn't bring her as a karbon, and he's saying that still, it wasn't a good thing to say because he would end up having to contradict his word. He's like, whoever comes out of the house, I'll bring as a karbon. And if it turned out to be his daughter, then he wouldn't, and he didn't. Marsha just leaves off. I'm a little bothered because it seems that he did bring her as a karbon, so from the medrash. So that's not necessarily the best approach. But in terms of differentiating between Eliezer and Shaul versus Yiftach, why they got a good answer and he didn't. So the first one answer is like Mr. Gadawa suggested that they made good criteria for who should be the wife of my son, of Yitzchak, or the husband of my daughter. That the way the Iyon Yaakov says it is Megalgalin Zechus Alidei Zakai. If somebody does something good, so then they get another opportunity for a good merit. So somebody who offers water to him and the camels, so he's a gomelis nasadim. She does chesed. So she's fit that she should then go on to marry Yitzchak. And also the person who brings salvation to Israel and kills Goliath. So a merit comes through someone who's meritorious. And it would be someone who's fit who would do that, who would accomplish that, and that person would be fit to marry the daughter of Saul. It would make sense. But Yiftach just said, whoever walks out the door, so that's nothing meritorious, that could be anyone. And therefore, that was Shalom Kehogan, that was improper. The Kuyakar suggests otherwise, very simply, that they were dealing with people. So like, okay, you know, whoever comes out will marry Yitzchak, whoever comes out will marry my daughter. Okay, but you're dealing with a person, with a human, and it's not going against Hashem necessarily. But here, he's promising that whatever comes out is going to be brought as a karban for Hashem. Even if it's tameh, even if it's improper, if it's a pig, how can you say that? And so, right, it's true, if it would be a mamzer, it wouldn't be such a proper, you know, spouse for Yitzchak or for the daughter of Shaul, but at least you're dealing with people there. But when you're dealing with Hashem, you have to take it to a new level. There's more expected of you, and therefore, he shouldn't have said that, I'll bring as a karbon whatever comes out. It could have been a dog, it could have been a pig, and that's why he was answered, Shalom Kehogan. And he says that's meduyak. It could be inferred in the psukim that it stresses Vayidar Yiftach Neder LaHashem. That the problem was that it was a Neder LaHashem. That's where he was found wanting. That's where he went wrong. In that this type of Neder may have been okay if he was dealing with people, but when making a Neder LaHashem, so you can't be so lax in the language that you use, and that's why he was answered Shlok Hogan, that's what he was answered in prophecy.
This was what was meant to happen. So they made the request that they got good in, because that was, you know, what meant to happen. He was meant to dodge, or whatever.
Sorry, one more time? Oh, the answer is just because that's... Okay, but I think when the Gemara is contrasting them, so there should be some sort of contrast in the way that it played, in what he did. In other words, I'm sure there was some element of that. But in terms of, if the Gemara is contrasting, these two asked Shlok Hogan, they were answered right, and he asked Shlok Hogan, and he was answered wrong, so then what was the difference between them? It wasn't simply because that's the way it was supposed to be. The Mepharshim are looking for where could we find a difference in the way that they asked or for what that they asked for. They're suggesting either it was because the first two asked for something that was actually a merit, and if somebody accomplished that, they must be that they're a meritorious person, and so it would be a fit spouse, but here, walking out the door, doesn't show anything about, you know, anything. And
the thing that gets me is in the previous two cases, the majority of outcomes would have been probably at least kosher, if not desirable.
Right.
But then with Yitzhak,
depending on what he kept in his house, you know, I assume he wasn't keeping pigs in his house, right? So,
but I mean, it's probably not lambs or anything either. It'd probably be a person of some kind, or
that's what we talked about. Yes, last week, what, you know, he said from his house. So what was he expecting? But it could have easily included his barn or his tent.
Yeah, adjoining barn.
Right. So.
Because the word house didn't literally mean house in those days. It also included the courtyard.
Right. So we're out of time, but there's one thing that I didn't get to, which I want to get to. So whoever needs to go is dismissed. Whoever wants to stay for one more idea. Just a very interesting thing. So I don't want to put any pressure. Anybody have to go? Have to run?
I do,
everyone's lunch plan is not canceled today, so...
None of us are going to leave now after that build up.
So it ties it all into the 3 weeks in a fascinating way. So this pasuk that they quote as the source for that Yiftach wouldn't go to Pinchas and Pinchas wouldn't go to Yiftach, Hatzariying beGilad, is there no balm in Gilad? So is there no doctor? So that pasuk is in Yirmiyah, and it's part of the Haftarah that we read on Tisha B'Av. And it reads there, without getting into all the details, but the question is, what's it doing in Yirmiyah? Why is Yirmiyah recalling this story about Yiftach and Pinchas in the middle of talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Golem? So the Chacham Sofer has a very creative suggestion. He says, the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Rabba Bar Bar Chana heard a baskol, heard a heavenly voice, and it said, Oili Shenishbati. Hashem said, whoa, that I swore, that I took an oath, but now that I've sworn, who's going to annul it for me? So Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I guess when he told the other Chachamim what he heard, they said, why didn't you say Mufar? Why didn't you annul the vow when you heard that? Why didn't you say the vow is annulled? So he said, so they thought, says the Gemara, that they thought that it was talking about the Shvuah of the Golas. That Hashem took an oath of, I guess, how long the Golas would be, and how long exile would be, and that was the other thing. He said, why didn't you annul it? They said to him. And he thought it maybe it was referring to the shvu of the Mabul. That Hashem swore never to bring another Mabul. So he said, I didn't want to annul it because maybe it was the oath that I won't bring another Mabul, and Hashem wanted to bring another Mabul. And so they said, that can't be. Why would Hashem say, Oyuvi Shinishbati, whoa, that I swore? Hashem wouldn't say, whoa, that I swore if he was talking about the oath of the Mabul. Hashem would be happy with that. Must have been the oath of the Gullah. So the question is, what did Rabbi Bar Bar Chama think? Obviously, he heard the word ay, and yet he still thought that it could be going on the Mabul.
So
that's not what it says. It says he thought that it was going on the Mabul. It says that he thought it was going on the Mabul. So the Chassam Sofer says that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels our suffering. When we're bitzar, so Hashem is bitzar. And especially when there's Chil Hashem, and really Hashem wants to bring the Geula. As soon, you know, Shalom Bismano, it's whenever Hashem wants to just bring the Geula. Because of all the Chil Hashem and the Tzar that the Shechina suffered. But if Hashem would bring the Geula Shalom Bismano, it wouldn't be a Geula Shalem, it wouldn't be a complete Galus, and we would have to go back into Galus again. And Hashem took an oath that he wouldn't do that. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Ki may Noach zosli," that the waters of Noach are to me. Kasher nishbati me'avor me Noach. Just like I swore that I will not bring waters like Noach again, bring another flood. Odala aret king nishbati miksof alecho migorbach. So too I swear that I won't get angry with you and yell at you, which is understood to mean I won't bring another galus. This is the last galus, Hashem swears. And therefore, Hashem can't preempt the Geula, because if he would preempt the Geula, it wouldn't be a Geula Shlema, and we would have to go back into Galus. But Hashem swore that he won't send us back into Galus, so he can't preempt the Geula. So he says, that's what Rabbi Baruch Hanna thought, that Hashem wanted to nullify. Hashem said, just as I swore on the waters of Noah, so do I swear I won't send you into Galus again. But if Hashem would nullify the shvua, the promise of the Mabul, then he would be able to, once again, send us into Galus and preempt the Geula. Because it's just like I swore on the Mabul, so too I'm swearing on this. But if we nullify the oath of the Mabul, then he would nullify the oath that Hashem won't send us into Galus again, and he could preempt the Geula. And that's what they were discussing. The other rabbi thought, that would be good. Let him do that. Let him preempt the Geula. Okay, we'll have to go back into Galus, but it's worth it to get a redemption now.
Right.
Or a recharge, you know? That's what they say the second Beis HaMikdash was, a recharge. But Rabbi Rechana held it's not worth it. That was their discussion. Now, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. So the question is, why doesn't Hashem find a chacham to be made for the nether, to nullify the nether? Why doesn't Hashem find someone to nullify the nether? So the question is, who is he going to find, right? So the problem is that, so he develops why it can't be them. And ultimately, he concludes, you know who could be made for the nether? Only one person. Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is the only person who could be made for the neder, because Eliyahu is alive, but he still has a relationship with a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However he comes to it, he says, the only person who could be made for the neder is Eliyahu HaNavi. So why doesn't Hashem have Eliyahu be made for the neder? So he says, the reason is because we know that Pinchas is Pinchas, is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is Pinchas, and Pinchas is Eliyahu. And Pinchas wouldn't be matir the neder of Yiftach. And he says, and that was a chait, that was an aveira. And therefore, it's not proper that now he should be the one to be matir the shvua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask Eliyahu and Avi to be matir the neder. And that's why we say this, that's why Yirmiyah is mentioning this Maisa, that's why we read this on Tisha B'Av. Because he's saying, if not for this, if Pinchas had gone and being matir the neder of Yiftach, so then Eliyahu HaNavi would be able to be matir the neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matir the shvuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring the geula sooner. Now, at the end of the day, he developed the idea because we wouldn't want the geula because it wouldn't be a geula shleima. So you have to know. But that's the relevance of that to the Zaftar of Tisha B'Av, that the geula is extended because of this. You can't have a preemptive geula because Pinchas was not matir the neder of Yiftach, so he can't be the one to be matir the shvuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It reminds me of a story that I...